through this. It's the first source that you have in front of you.
Like telling us that whenever a person violates any of the mitzvahs of Torah, so after doing tshuva, a person is obligated to be misadah, to articulate the tshuva. And then the Rambam says in line 4 that the case of misadah, what are the components of the vidui? Generally, we translate vidui as confession. We'll see in a minute. It's really inadequate in this context. Omer ana Hashem, chatosi urisi pashati lefanecha. Chazal explained that those three words are not synonyms, that chet, when used together with avon and pesha, when these three words appear together, so chet connotes unintentional sin, avon intentional, and pesha, the worst of the three, when it was mahakas, when it's rebellious. Chatosi urisi pashati lefanecha vasisi kafka. A person specifies what the particular chait was. I have a sense of remorse, and a sense of shame over my actions. And then the person has to be able to sincerely articulate, resolve never to repeat the chait. Let's hone in just on one word in that formula for vidui, the word boshti. The vidui that Rambam gives us is clearly very streamlined, right? He distills into a few words, and one of those words is boshti. So clearly, vidui is a mirror for tshuva, right? A person can only say in the vidui what's true. So if something is indispensable for the vidui, so clearly that means that it's indispensable for the tshuva as well. If I have to be able to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu boshti, it means that as part of the tshuva, as a result of the tshuva, I have a sense of shame. Why is that so important? Why is it so crucial? Where the Rambam gets it from, we know from the Pesukim and Slichos, such as Elokai, boshti, v'chlamti, I think Ezra Sofer says that, both of you have begun the chanti. I feel a sense of shame, even a sense of humiliation over my chatoim. Our chatoim in the case of Ezra. So we know what the Rambam's source is, but why does it loom so large? What's missing if a person can sincerely say before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have remorse over my chait? And what's more, I have a sense of resolve never to repeat the chait. But the person can't genuinely, honestly say that boshti, that I have a sense of shame. What's missing? If you take a look at the second source that you have here in front of you, one of the most famous halachas in Rambam. Afu bishet ki yashof of Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasuv. Even though we can't know definitively the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu legislates a particular mitzvah, where is Yeshbo? If we can't identify the reason, but we can have some insight into the religious experience of the mitzvah. So what's the remez in Tkiya Shofar? Kolma uru yishen mishen asken, v'nirdonim harkitzim yitavdam asken. Those of you who are asleep, awaken. Those of you who are in a deep slumber, also can emerge from that slumber. The chips of the Maasecha, scrutinize your actions, the chizru b'tshuva, repent, the zechu b'arachem. those last two words, Zechu Barachem. Tshuva means to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, let's try to understand that a little bit. Leaving aside the case of someone who's in the class of a Tinoch Shenishba, someone who didn't have a religious upbringing and simply doesn't know that what he or she is doing is wrong. Leaving aside that case, every other case of chait, lots of different chatoim that unfortunately we do, but there is a common denominator. So sometimes, I don't know, whatever, fill in the blank, A, B, C, D, hopefully we don't get all the way to Z, but fill in the blank of whatever chatoim that we're guilty of. There is a common denominator. So they, on the one hand, they represent different weaknesses, different flaws, different yetzaharas. But there is one common denominator. And that common denominator is, if we know what's wrong, A, B, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. C, we know that there's a din b'cheshbon. We know that a person ultimately gives an accounting, is held accountable for whatever he, she did over the course of one's lifetime. So how does a person ever sin? Right? And in fact, the Kamei Ben Halalel says, "Tistakel v'shlosh edvarim, v'iyatom b'lidei avera." The Kamei Ben Halalel tells us how it's possible to totally avoid chet, how to eliminate chet entirely. Tzara me'ayin basu, from where you come, lo'on ata holech, and where you're headed, b'lifnei mi'ato asa ditein din l'cheshbon. So how does chet ever happen? Why is there such a long list of al-chets in Yom Kippur Matzah? And why is it that we have to be misvada 10 times, 8 times the al-chets, 10 times the al-shanus? How does chet ever happen? No, the combination of knowing that something is wrong, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, hears what I'm doing, knowing that I'm held accountable, doesn't that eliminate chet entirely? So the answer is, it does. But the problem is that we forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the common denominator, again, leaving aside that Tinoch Shenishba case, leaving aside the case of someone who doesn't know any better, leaving aside that case, there is a common denominator. Yes, that there's diversity and diversification in faith, and which reflect different weaknesses, different shortcomings, different inadequacies, but the one common denominator is that a person forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer on the radar. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the radar, it doesn't matter what my weakness is, it doesn't matter what my character flaw is, I'll overcome it. Moshe L'man Dovadona. Let's say you have someone comes in to take an exam, and there's an awful lot riding on this exam. For whatever reason, the person didn't or wasn't able to prepare adequately. So he rationalizes to himself that he's going to cheat. We're good at rationalizing. It's not so hard to do. And he's poised to cheat. He's devised the method how he's going to cheat. The only thing is, the exam is being proctored, and he sees that the proctor is staring at him the entire time. So the fact that he has this character flaw, that he's ready to cheat, a character flaw to which he would give in, to which he would succumb. But if he sees the proctor staring at him the whole time, and he knows that he's not going to get away with it, then he doesn't cheat. And the only way a person does cheat, that character flaw, that weakness in Midas or Emes, the only way that materializes, and the only way that translates into cheating is if the person thinks the proctor is not looking or forgets that there's a proctor in the room. That there's an equation between hate and forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If, let's take that one step further, if there's an equation between hate and forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then clearly that implies that there's going to be a second equation between tshuva and remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If in every chait there's this element of Rachman al-Islam forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the focus, not the exclusive focus, but the focus of, but maybe the primary focus, of every tshuva has to be remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what this Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Daled is telling us, that Tzkiyah Shofar, which is a wake-up call, which is a call to tshuva, is a call ultimately for Zichur Barachim, remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When does a person experience busha? So let's say that I'm walking into a room, and I very clumsily trip over my own feet. So am I going to be embarrassed or not? So the answer is it depends. If the room was empty and no one saw me in that moment of foolishness and clumsiness, so I may be bruised and I may be angry with myself, but I'm not going to be embarrassed because no one witnessed my foolishness. If the room was full of people and everyone saw it, so then I'm going to feel very embarrassed. So why is a person embarrassed? What triggers busha about chait? Most chatorim happen in private. Most people don't announce the chatorim from the rooftops. They don't broadcast them. If they do, they don't really consider them chatorim. Most of us are nichshal in private. So what are we embarrassed about? People don't really know most about our shortcomings. Everyone knows his or her own shortcomings. Loved after that, other people know it. So whose presence is triggering that busha? Whose presence is triggering that embarrassment? That the person has to be able to say boshti. Because if a person can't say boshti in the tshuva, so then there's no zichru barachem. The essence of chait, the indispensable element of chait, is Rachman al-Islam forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means the indispensable and primary focus of tshuva is zichru barachem. So now, unlike the moment of chait, now at the moment of tshuva, so now I am aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So now I'm embarrassed to own up to what I did. I'm embarrassed to articulate what I did. That's why the sense of busha is so crucial. If you take a look, it's not here in the sheet, I apologize, but if you take a look in Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva is divided into four shorim, the first of which is devoted to listing the various yisodos, the various fundamental elements of Tshuva. So it's the yisod hashishi, which is busha. And Rabbeinu Yonah says what we just discussed. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason busha is so vital and so pivotal is because chait originally happened ein ze ela hayos Hashem yizbarach rachok mikel yosef. The way chait happens in the first place is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is far removed from a person's thoughts. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't a presence in a person's life. And that's why the tikkun for that the corresponding corrective measure for that is that a person experiences a sense of busha. I think of Rabbi Yonah there quoting, one brother says that kala osa dvara veira umisvayishbo. So listen to this remarkable climax of the Maimon Chazal. Kala osa dvara veira umisvayishbo. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, is guilty of an aveira, but then has a sense of busha, a sense of shame. So mochla lo, says the Gemara, the person is forgiven al kola vanosa. If a person has a sense, a sincere, genuine sense of busha for this particular chait the X, whatever the chait happens to have been, and has a sense, experiences a sense of busha over that chait, so then mochla al kola vanosa. So why should that be? If I have chatoim A through Z, and I'm embarrassed about E, I'm embarrassed about J, so why does that count towards a tshuva, and why does that help a person receive mechila, forgiveness for all the chatoim? Because the answer is that the busha means that a person now has this, now is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, which is a response, which is a tikkun for all one's chatoim, all one's averus. What I'm about to say will sound simplistic, so simplistic as to the point of being foolish, but maybe it is, but maybe it isn't. The jury will be out on that one. Sometimes, when we do tshuva, think about the following scenario. And kimaduna, that's a scenario which isn't entirely fictional, but it's very much real to life. Let's say, I don't know, whatever the Aveira is, we're not that far into Tisha B'Av, Sinas Chinam, Lashon Hara. So let's say a person is being misvada on Yom Kippur, or in the days leading up to Yom Kippur, in the month leading up to Yom Kippur, a person is being misvada on that chait of Sinas Chinam. And the person is saying with complete sincerity, wholeheartedly, I feel so terrible at the fact that I engage in sinas chinam, that I harbored such feelings towards a fellow Jew. Sinas chinam is something which is so insidious. It's such a terrible midah. I feel disgusted that I'm sullied with sinas chinam, and I'm determined to uproot it, and I'm determined never to harbor such feelings, never to have such an attitude towards a fellow Jew. Pretty good, huh? No. Pretty good shoe, huh? What's missing? Sometimes when we do tshuva, as it were, the chait takes on a life of its own. It sort of gets spun off. Sometimes we have a business, and then the business it spins off one section of the business, and it becomes its own company, it becomes its own corporation. So sometimes when we think about chatorim, especially the chatorim that have to do with midos ra'os, we focus so much on the insidiousness of that mita that we don't trace the source of that value back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in terms of the chait and in terms of the tshuva, we're not thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every tshuva has to be al chait shechatam lufanecha. The word lufanecha has to be underscored and that's the really in bold print. The Rambam says that the Chazal built into our schedule constant reminder of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In Parak Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam says that the reason Anshei Knesset HaGdolah introduced so many brachos, listen, whenever you turn around, it's time to say a bracha. The reason Chazal did that is k'day lizkos ha'borei tamid. If we don't say, this is a big if we don't say brachos by rote, sort of just mumble them automatically, but if we say brachos thoughtfully, so there's no greater reminder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than saying a bracha, especially because we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second person in the bracha. When do you use the second person? When do you use the third person? Let's say you're talking to a sibling, you're about a sibling. So you say you, or you say he or she, him or her. So what determines whether you use the second person or the third person? So if your brother or sister is not here, and you're talking about your brother or sister, you're talking about he, she, him, her. If you're talking to your brother or sister, because he or she is right here, so then it's you. It's not he, it's not she, it's you. We address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you think about it, the liberty that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah allowed us to address HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second person is really staggering. Right? When we talk to a great person, so we don't have the chutzpah to address that person in the second person. We address him in the third person. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk to him in the second person. Why? Because Chazal wanted to impress upon us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. We're in his presence. The Rambam says, if we would say brachas thoughtfully, deliberately, thoughtfully, it would achieve the goal that Chazal had in mind, the lizkos ha'borei tamid. It's one of the reminders that Chazal built into our schedule. Another powerful reminder is there's so much that we do. The way a person comports himself or herself, the way a person carries himself or herself throughout the day, the way a person talks, the refinement with which a person talks, acts, etc., all is ultimately reflects a commitment to Torah mitzvahs. If a person would always have in mind that link, again, not let the code of behavior sort of take on its own, it's a life of its own, but the person would have an awareness of, yeah, the reason this is an appropriate way to act, speak, etc., the reason this is inappropriate is one's Torah-dik, one's not Torah-dik, one is in accordance with the Ratzon Hashem, one not. When we trace back our Shmiras HaMitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzvah, so then every time we're doing a mitzvah, every time the Torah is molding and shaping and directing what we do, there will be an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's perhaps reread the second source that you have here in front of you. Again, from the Rambam talks about the Yishof, and we'll begin from the beginning. Av bitz Yishof, Rosh Hashanah, Gzeres HaKosuch, Remez Yishof, Klomer. So this is the message that's encoded, according to the Rambam, in the sound of the Shofar. Those of you who are asleep, those of you who are, and especially those of you who are in a deep slumber, awaken. The chesed and asaychem, the chizur, the tshuva, scrutinize your actions, do tshuva, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, in a word, the Shabbat is a call to tshuva. A call to tshuva. Now, to whom is a call to tshuva, to whom does that call go out? So, if you would have asked me, a call to tshuva, the audience, the intended audience, are people who have sinned. To whom else is a call for tshuva issued? But what does the Rambam go on to say? Elu, for whom is the call shofar intended? Look at this. This is absolutely staggering. Elu hashochem es ha'emes b'havlei hazman v'shogim kol shnasan b'hevel erik. The wake-up call for tshuva is addressed to those who forget truth because they're distracted by the ephemeral futilities, by chomrius, without any broader redeeming context. The Shogim Koshnasam and their entire year, their entire life, they're immersed behevel varik with futility, with emptiness, with hollowness, asher lo yoleh lo yatzil, which doesn't give any true spiritual benefit, which won't save them. So what didn't the Rambam say here? What didn't he mention? He didn't mention that. No, it's extraordinary. This observation I heard from my father's Zechonolivata. That the Rambam has a call for tshuva, and he identifies the audience for whom that call to tshuva is intended. He doesn't identify them as chotim, as sinners, as people who have sinned, people who are involved with nourishment, people whose life is empty, whose life is vacuous, who are not involved with substance. Let's continue. Eventually, the Rambam gets to Chet. He makes his way to Chet. Habitul Nafshel Seichem, line 4. Look, be concerned with your souls. Ve'hitivu darcheichem ma'alechem, improve your ways and your actions, your habits. V'yazov kolecha mikem darko hara'a. And let each one of you abandon, forsake, evil ways, and not good thoughts. So eventually, the Rambam speaks in terms of Ra and Tov, in terms of Chet. The opposite, initially, hear this, this is so powerful what the Rambam is telling us. The opposite of Torah and Mitzvahs, the antithesis of Torah and Mitzvahs is emptiness. Is nourishment, is being busy and preoccupied with nonsense, with pettiness, with everything that's transient and not with anything of substance and of enduring value. Eventually, that translates into formal chet also, as it were. Eventually, if a person's life is empty, so inevitably, so there are going to be several official and formal chetaim that will also inevitably ensue. That's a remarkable thing. The opposite of stuck inside there. Addressing a question that given that reward is an olam haba, so how will we understand what the Torah talks about in Parshas Bukhukosai and elsewhere of all the bracha that ensues in olam haza when we dedicate ourselves to Torah mitzvot? So Bukhukosai te'alechu, that's mitzvosai te'shmeru, asisim osam. So then you know what's going to happen, and that's the Haaretz Yehuda, you're going to have bountiful crops, and there's going to be an overflow of, in terms of what the yield will be, and the rains will always be timely, etc. So what's that all about? If Sahar is really an olam haba. So the Rambam answers as follows. If you see, it's around, I don't know, 10, maybe a dozen lines down. In this text has a kachu hechra kol hadvarim. There are different texts for that word. Kachu hechra kol hadvarim. It's around 10, a dozen lines down. But Rambam from Nasanlan, this is the pshat. This is the way to understand and frame all those promises and guarantees about prosperity in Olam Hazeh. And for the Rav and Asalman Torah Zo Eitz Chaim, the Rav gave us the Torah, the Tree of Life. V'chola osa kol kosu ba b'yodo deya gevur and l'chona, zo kevol chay olam haba. There are two requirements. A person has to have proper belief, Yodo Deir Gemur, and a person has to have proper action. If a person has those two things to his credit, proper belief, proper action, so then Torah is the bridge to eternal life. And again, each of those two elements, proper action and proper belief, contribute to what the person's share in Olam Haba is. V'hiftichon ba'Torah, because Baruch Hu guarantees us, he promises us in the Torah, shenasa osa b'simcha u'betovas nefesh. If we'll fulfill Torah, what we'll live, and that's also the simple Torah's nefesh. It will fulfill Torah joyously, and will be preoccupied with the Chochmas HaTorah. So the Rav will see that we want to devote ourselves to Torah, we're devoting ourselves to Torah, so then he'll facilitate it. So he'll remove all the impediments, sickness of and war, and famine, and what's more, not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove the deterrents, the impediments, but the but he'll give us the necessary support system, that there will be plenty of the food will be plentiful, and there will be peace in the world, and we'll have plenty of money to take care of all the needs. So that we shouldn't be preoccupied our whole lives just with the mundane and the physical. So that again, we'll have the opportunity to devote ourselves to those two elements of belief, of the wisdom of Torah, and Kiyama Mitzvahs. Now, let's skip one line. So that's on the one hand, right? So on the one hand is if we mekaye mitzvahs haTorah, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us all the brachas. So now comes the counterpoint, right? The counterpoint to what happens, Rachman Litzlan, if we're not devoting ourselves to Nasa, also the Simcha, to Kiyum HaMitzvahs and Torah. What's the opposite? V'chein Hodiyanu HaTorah, Shem Nazor HaTorah Midas. So what does that mean? So we're expecting the next few words should say, and the person is not eating the veilus of dreifus, the person is not keeping Shabbos, etc. No, what does the Rambam say? In Nazar HaTorah, if we forsake the Torah, and what happens? V'nasar HaHavle HaZman. And again, and we become preoccupied with nonsense, with foolishness, with vacuity. That's what the opposite of Torah is. The opposite of Torah is Havlei HaZman. In line 5 from the end of this excerpt, again, when the Rambam is recapping and reviewing the point, so he says again, with the antithesis of Adatem es Hashem b'simcha, Adatem es Hashem b'simcha is around 10 lines from the bottom. So if Adatem es Hashem b'simcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers his bracha to remove impediments and give you the support system, but if 5 lines from the end, what's the opposite of Avodas Hashem, in Azatam is Hashem, not Aveira initially, Ushagisam, and you're mired in, you're immersed in Nachal, Umishta, etc. A person is just busy with the physical for no redeeming purpose, not as part of a balanced life that a person has to maintain health, that's the focus of one's life. The focus of one's life is just the here and now without any transcendent context or goal. That's the opposite of Torah. Could be, if you come back to the very first halakha we had looked at, there is a seemingly very cryptic phrase. Let's read this from the beginning. Kol mitzvah shebaTorah, all the mitzvahs in the Torah, bein aseh, bein lo aseh. Im ado adam achas mehen, any mitzvah of the Torah, whether it's a positive commandment or a negative commandment, if a person violated, again, either omission or commission, any one of them, bein bezod and bein b'shkoka, whether it was willful or whether it was unintentional, what are those two phrases? No, it's just repetitious. When he does tshuva and he repents from his sin. Elamai, according to what we're discussing, no, this shiasa tshuva means that there's an overall, a person recalibrates, a person reorients. She'asa tshuva, again, in terms of the broader context of a person's life. Everything happens in a context. There's a source, there's a root, there's a cause for everything we do. We never do anything just so. Sometimes, when asked, we answer just so, but it's not really true. There's always a context, there's always a source, there's always a certain momentum which generates and is responsible for what we do. Shiasa Tshuva means I'm not focusing on the specific chait just yet. I'm focusing on that broader picture. Maybe my disproportionate involvement with the Havlei HaZman, my involvement with the Havlei HaZman, not for any redeeming purpose. She asks the tshuva, and then specifically Yoshev Echato. Now the person also targets the individual Avera. One final comment. But that's in that first source again, in the Ketzer Mizvadin, in line 4. Ketzer Mizvadin, Ona Hashem, Chatozi Abisik, Oshanti, the Fanatha, Vasisik, Hapagat. I've sinned before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've been guilty of such and such an Avera. Barin Yechamti, Yiboshti, Bimasai. And I have a sense of remorse, and I'm embarrassed. My actions of all my chosen love was that, and I've resolved to never repeat this chet. This has all the essential elements of vidui. The Rambam's formulation is remarkable not only for what he does say, but also for what he doesn't say. Well, what's missing? What doesn't the Rambam include? We say it all the time, and we interject it within the al-chayit after every 10 or so. So we insert it. We insert the slach lona, machal lona, mekabel lona, right? A bakoshes mechila. Asking for forgiveness, asking for atonement. Rav doesn't mention it. Obviously, the Rambam doesn't question, as a matter of fact, the context that he goes on to discuss in this halakha, that's what he's talking about. Of course, the Rambam agrees that tshuva is the source of kapara, and that a person attains kapara, atonement, forgiveness, through doing tshuva. It's not that the Rambam questions that. That's what, again, in his very halacha, he goes on to talk about that. But that's a byproduct of tshuva. That's a corollary of tshuva. But the essence of tshuva is that a person, we sort of think of tshuva in very pragmatic terms. If you park at a hydrant, so you got to get a $250 ticket. It would be nice if there was someone who could give an amnesty, but that you don't have to pay that $250 ticket, because that's a very heavy fine to have to pay. So we think of tshuva in very pragmatic terms as trying to get that amnesty, because tshuva is mechaperes, and tshuva can get us that amnesty, it's true. But the fact that tshuva can lead to that result doesn't mean that that's what the driving force of tshuva is. The driving force of tshuva is that a person is guilty of chait. So a person doesn't want to remain mired in chait. Even luyatsuya, even leaving aside, again, that obviously very welcome and desired benefit of the amnesty. But chait means that a person's neshama is sullied. Chait means that a person distances himself, herself, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the driving forces behind tshuva. Yes, then tshuva also, it's a midas hachesed, but the tshuva also is a source, there's a byproduct, there's a corollary of kapara, of slicha mechila. But tshuva is not simply a pragmatic way to try to get that amnesty. It's a catharsis. It's a way a person cleanses his, her, neshama from the stain of chait. It's the way a person comes close to that Baruch. That's what tshuva is. That's what tshuva is, and that's what has to be reflected in the vidui. That's what's articulated. Then, yes, there's a very, very, very welcome and desired dividend that we very much welcome and very much desire, but that's a dividend. It's not the essence of tshuva. Maybe one final thought. I think the title said El also, so I'm going to just do a little bit reflect on El as well. When you learn the Rambam Sefer's Tshuva, again, noticing not only what he does say, but also what he doesn't say, Rambam doesn't talk about Chodesh El. He talks about Aseres Yemei Tshuva. When you learn Hilchos Tshuva, you'll find that the Rambam talks about Aseres Yemei Tshuva, talks about saying Slichos during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he talks about trying to do extra mitzvahs and nice and tovim to tip the scales during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Rambam doesn't have any special hanhogos for the month of El. We're used to Ashkenazim, I used to tear shofar, and Sfardim, I used to saying slichos. We associate, even almost identify, Elul with and saying with God and Hashem Ori. We certainly associate Elul and maybe to a degree even identify Elul with these special Elul hanhagos. There is no Chodesh Elul in the Rambam. So how is that? Truth is, there's not that much in Chazal either. So what is one to make of that? The answer is that when you have special hanhogos for Chodesh Elul, the truth is that one has to be careful that it doesn't distract us from what the primary focus of Chodesh Elul is supposed to be. The primary focus of Chodesh Elul is not to blow shofar and not to say slichos. It's rather to introduce change into our lives that will continue beyond Elul, that will continue beyond the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Not just to adopt extra measures for this 30-day period before Rosh Hashanah, 40-day period before Yom Kippur. Yeah, we do that also. Again, be it slichos, be it kiyush shofar. We do that also. But what Elul really is devoted to is Elul is a time, there's no kedushas hayom in Elul. It's not even called Dirshu Hashem Bihimatzo. Dirshu Hashem Bihimatzo defines Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Elul are sort of, in terms of what the days are intrinsically, they're more or less comparable to the days of the rest of the year. And that's bechavona, that's intentional. Because Elul is the time to look to see not just what extra effort can I make for a month or for 40 days. Elul is the time to see what permanent upgrade and improvement and enhancement that I make in my life. And that's why the Rambam doesn't have special hanhogos for Chodesh Elul. Because what should I be doing in Chodesh Elul? I should be figuring out how I can daven better, for instance. Not just for Chodesh Elul, but for every subsequent tefillah. I should be thinking how I can improve my berot muhavayot. Not just for Chodesh Elul, but introduce change, improvement, that will remain a part of a person's life. Not just to have the temporary extra measures leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
If you want to be on the committee to help organize things or to work with Rosh Yeshiva, please come up to me and sign up.
She's off the recording.